We aim for like an hour.
Okay, great.
So all of us talk for 5 minutes.
I know, the last time we were there for a long time.
It was.
And it was great. It was great. I had a great time with you guys.
Yeah, it was nice.
We'll let you guys talk about it.
Okay.
We can.
First, dogs. What is everyone's favorite dog?
Are we even?
Yep.
Is this
yeah,
live?
Yeah. I just let it roll.
Swiss
and then
Mountain
Dog.
Swiss Mountain Dog. I like it. Like a Swiss roll. No, I'm just kidding.
Bernese Mountain Dog.
There we go.
All the fluff.
Very nice. Well, I grew up with Golden Retrievers, so I might have to say Golden Retrievers.
Love
Goldie. Yeah.
Pit Bull mix now.
Ooh.
Definitely. Australian cattle dogs.
Mm-hmm. What
red and blue
donut.
Heelers. Mm-hmm. They have to be a cattle dog.
Yes. Little rowdy boys.
Because they always have something to do.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Matches my personality.
The ADHD dog.
The ADHD.
What about you, Beth?
Oh, my favorite dog is a Shiba Inu.
They're so cute.
So cute. What about you, Patty Mill?
Definitely a Newfoundland because I grew up with three of them. So
fluffy.
Three of them. Wow.
Three of them. Yeah.
Dang. They're big dogs.
Yes.
That shit's a bed.
There were. Yep. Yep. They did not ever understand that they were not lap dogs, which
aww.
Made it better. So.
Amazing. So we should have a dog party.
Yes.
Could you imagine naturally. All of these dogs together? First of all, my dogs would not be very friendly.
Man, I've got three teacup Yorkies. We'll see how it goes.
And even Sparky's dog, I don't know.
She's a handful.
She's a handful, like the cattle dog. She's kind of like between.
Yeah. Well, she's a cattle dog mix.
Yeah, she's a cattle dog mix, so.
Thank you for humoring my dog conversation.
Now we have the intro. Perfect.
Yes.
We're set.
Nice.
Us today, which
yeah.
is super fun. Who are all of you?
Yeah,
who,
I guess
who do we have.
We start here. So if we could do so, a welcome to Fueled by Lore.
This is a podcast.
This is a podcast. I am your host Patrick. joined with Beth, and then
that's
if we
me.
Just kind of want to go in like a circle here, since we have seven of us here, which is a new podcast record, which is wild.
Yay!
We'll had at most two people on at a time, so we just want to start with you, Dona.
Okay, I'm Dona Larita, and currently we're at Valkyrie Gallery in Lakewood, in Belmar in Lakewood, and I am having my annual show that I have every March right now here, and it opened last night. It's called Waves, and also we just launched March 4th, which we can talk about momentarily.
Yes.
And just had the pleasure of having Tercel play on this Saturday Soundwave series that we started.
Ooh. And my name is Holden Cornelli. I play bass in Tercel. Grew up in Colorado, in Louisville to be specific. And yeah, had a blast playing with y'all today.
Hey.
I'm Brody Cornelli. I sing and play guitar with Tercel.
Yeah.
I'm Ethan Knight. I play drums with Tercel. You probably recognize my voice from maybe another episode.
Yeah.
Couple.
Yeah. I'm Mike Sparkman. I also am in Tercel. I guess the band soon to be formerly known as Tercel,
soon
most likely.
Soon to be.
And I am also a Coloradan and a guitarist and part owner of a pit bull cattle dog mix.
And did I hear formally Tercel? Is there some new changes
we're
happening?
We're in the talks to change the name.
Talks, negotiations.
Oh,
yes.
It's a name change negotiation.
Yes.
Yeah.
And what is the inspiration indeed. For the name change?
Not sure. Something that fits the sound more,
maybe
I think.
Something that isn't named after a car.
Yeah.
If it happens.
What are some names that are you guys are considering?
Oh, Trulicity? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I'd have to look at our notes.
I know. We thought about the Deadtones.
Standalones.
But that's already a band.
Yep. Turned out to be a band in Texas already.
That's a bummer.
What else were we thinking of?
Standalones?
Standalones.
What about hanky panky?
Hanky panky.
I want to use that term.
There we go.
That'll be our EP name.
Yes.
Ooh, perfect. I like it.
Yeah.
I think that was like the common thing when like I first started a band and my dad was like, yeah, all the bands in high school, it was a different name every week or something. So I guess we've all hit that point now.
Yes, definitely.
But yeah, so yes, I'm your host, Patrick. I'm a musician as well. And
this
someone
is such
who,
a formal introduction.
I know.
Guys.
This
I
is
love it.
It's thrown me off a little bit. And I'm a musician and someone who I thought this out ahead of time.
Okay.
A musician and someone who holds a mic even though no one asked him to. So
hey.
So kind of to start off, so yesterday was March 4th. We're recording on March 5th. And so part of what makes this episode special, Donny already mentioned you wanted to kind of discuss March 4th, which I think we did talk about a little bit in your episode, but now it's officially out in the world. It's launched, and you're able to tie it in with the waves.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
We can officially... Nope, the other one.
Oh.
Sorry.
So...
Oh, over there on the other one.
Get that in post.
There you go. Thank you. Okay. Sorry about that. That's all good. But I'm very pleased because I got it together.
Mm-hmm.
I got it together and I built a little infrastructure. And March 4th's ongoing mission is to keep Julieta's memory alive through projects that cultivate and affirm the independent thinking, resilience, compassion, and creative expressions of young adults and teens through the arts. And so that's the mission. And we just finished this logo, which I love. Mm-hmm. And have the website up, and the whole month of March, every Saturday, we're having different musicians come and play, and March 4th is a presents, it presents mm-hmm. and sponsors, and so that's exciting that something that was formed as an idea and like a hang on to the memory of her mm-hmm. 3 years ago is now coming into something some fruition.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I'm really pleased about that. And then, so mm-hmm. that's kind of what I want to say about March 4th.
Hmm. Well, thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, and that's like the fruition, yes, of like, I have this idea, I want to do something with it. And you have a pamphlet with a logo that's printed on cardstock. You've done it.
Yes. It was a big deal.
And a website.
Yeah. Things are going.
No, I mean, it was really, it was a goal I had months and months ago to mm-hmm. have this on this day. And then, you know, of course, how time goes, you're just like, wait.
Yeah.
But I'm really pleased that it all came together. And I'm also very lucky to be with some of her dear friends right now mm-hmm. that knew her and played music with her. And so that's extra special to, mm-hmm. you know, really launch this in the way that it was envisioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always exciting when everything kind of falls into place and lines up. And I also thought about this on the way over here is somehow it managed, despite everything going on with like the podcast too, is that this is actually the 34th episode too. So
oh,
the 3-4 for March 4th is kind of somehow it managed to line up that way. So
you're the
that's serendipity.
Yep.
Yeah. I like it. I do like that.
I'm not.
It's
nice. You know, a lot of things had to happen and it somehow ended up that way, and that was not premeditated, so that's, you know.
Well, it's really interesting to get to my show, Waves. When I went to pick my work up from my printer, the first thing he said to me was, Donna, some of your files are haunted. Right? And I was like, what do you mean? And he showed me one piece in particular around the corner that's called Hourglass in Spain. There's texture and a information there, yeah. visuals there that I did not intend, nor did the printer see it in the file.
Spooky.
So when he showed me that, when you think about haunted, and you think about who we're dealing with here, and the fact that I have lived in haunted houses before, and I am not woo-woo, I have to have a lot of evidence before I believe something. And I have witnessed ghosts. So when I was told my files haunted, and he shows me the image, and there's images in my image that I did not intend to be there, and they disappeared. And he said, I kept printing them and printing them and printing them, and it keeps coming up. So it's like haunted. Yeah.
A little spooky. A little awesome.
Yeah,
it's a
right?
little awesome.
Yeah.
It is awesome.
It's a little awesome. So if we're talking about, you know, 34th episode, March 4th, we're all, I don't know. I want to believe that there's something beyond the thin veil, right?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think music helps, it becomes a conduit for a lot of that. Mm-hmm. And so I really appreciate what all musicians bring to non-musician artists, you know, visual artists and the rest of humanity. It's really something that I don't create and I benefit greatly from. Mm-hmm. So here's to musicians and music.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Playing on the sound waves, probably the only thing that can reach the ghosts.
Right.
Yeah.
Very true.
Wonder if they're with us right now.
Yeah.
Spirits of beyond. That's it.
You never know.
Never know.
Yeah.
So one of the kind of themes that we've been chasing a little bit in the past few episodes was like the idea of identity and identity through art. So one thing that I'm going to open it up to you guys too in a second, but also especially with, I guess, jumping on the idea of waves, since we're in the Waves Art Gallery at the moment, or Valkyrie Art Gallery for the Waves exhibit. But did working on these pieces kind of help you expand your identity of self and like who you are, or was it kind of more of like a you found yourself a little more through these making this art, or is there some way that it, you know, it just helps you express part of your identity, would you say?
I would say it's probably all of the above, right? So starting how I start any project, it has one tiny little idea, probably how you guys even start with a song. There's like a little something that you, a starting off point. And so from that, I think I followed myself, even though I didn't know what that self was that I was following.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Something's tugging you. Who knows what it is, but.
Yeah. And then it just kept getting a life of its own. Mm-hmm. And of course I worked with a lot of imagery of my daughter, and that opened up a lot of, you know, layering and places to, sometimes I would spend like a whole afternoon just going through my archives, and I would really feel like I was like with her, because my memory would go back to when we, you know, when we were in these different places, or when I would remember taking the image. And, you know, that really does show you the power of memory and also imagery. And I've always thought, you know, between life and death, there are only photographs. That's me as a photographer saying that, you know, as far as that. But there's also between life and death, the other art forms, the music that gets left behind, you know? So.
That's very true. I think kind of everyone, whether you're an artist or not, but I think people kind of live for art, you know? Like the kind of the, I feel like it's like a cliche saying of like, imagine a world without art. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I literally try to think about that, and it's like, what a depressing existence. Yeah. If you have no music, visual art, no creative expression at all, like what kind of world is that worth living? So I think that the human spirit can really live on through people's art, or people experiencing others' art for their enjoyment, or, you know what I'm saying. But
yeah. Well, even to jump off that, I've been thinking about something like, you say forgotten, but everything we've done will live on. Do you guys think about that? Fucking immortals in this room. Shit, every image you post, every song you make, it's online, our freaking podcast, until we get like EMP'd to destroy the earth, like everything's still around, man. Crazy shit. That's it.
It's true. Yeah, like music, like just recordings in general, like it's kind of weird to think about, like when I'm 90 or something, or hopefully I don't know, like if I like whether I have kids or not or something, like be cool to just be like, oh, I remember recording that, like when I was 23 or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I even remember you saying that moment when you and Jules Locke dies, and the three of you, when she got that song, and that memory that just moves and lives on, you know, that instant aha moment.
Yeah.
That's cool.
For sure. Yeah, it was particularly special for me, just especially as a drummer, like other drummers listening could understand this, but you know, you're in the back, right? And you don't get a lot of eye contact besides like the audience. Obviously you guys are great, you're great bandmates, so you look back and stuff, but like a lot of the time, you know, that you're trying to pay attention, like if you're a front man of any kind, you're not looking back. So it was just very refreshing, because Jules is always so focused. So like I kind of would know when she'd like feel like she was really got something, you know? And so especially when we were like actually playing live, it wasn't just at rehearsal or something, I felt pretty cool. So yeah, I won't forget that. But,
yeah.
Well, I guess going on the idea of identity as well, you guys are looking to change your name and in essence change your identity. So you guys want to kind of dive into that a little bit, why we're moving away from Tercel, or maybe even like how you guys landed on Tercel in the first place and why, you know, trying it out and it maybe didn't fit.
I think it all just, I guess it all started just because I love playing music with these guys. And the name was always kind of secondary.
Yep.
At first, you know, I just wanted to play shows and write songs and do all of those things. But at a certain point, you kind of acknowledge that you need like an outward facing kind of identity. And at the end of the day, it's like, I feel like I want something that doesn't leave too much of an impression, but if that makes any sense. So
no, I get that.
Yeah, it's a weird thing as a band. It's a name is, yeah,
it's like hard to be free of that.
A name is the least significant thing and the most significant thing at the same time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's that first kind of impression you give, but at the end, but when you're watching a band, you're not thinking about their name, you're thinking about their songs. So
yeah.
It's something we're trying to figure out, but we're so early in this project that I think it's natural to kind of want to represent and re-identify and do things, because we just brought Holden on, and when it used to just be the three of us, so, and that's opened up a whole different sound and done a lot of different things. So I think it's just part of being early on as a band and acknowledging that the sound changes and the identity might change, but what shouldn't change is that connection and that synergy that I have with these guys on stage, you know, because that's at the end of the day what matters. So
so
it's evolving. We're all like, we've all been playing music in some capacity for a while, but this project is young and I'm very excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that you want to find, and that's a good sign when it's just like, oh yeah, we jumped into playing and it felt right. That's, you know, that's why you're here in the first place. You don't think about a name, really. At least in all of my past projects, the name was, like you said, secondary.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, what are you guys called? Oh, shit.
We need one. Damn.
Yeah.
It's hard to, I found with both of my children, it was hard to name them. I actually, they were nameless for about a month.
Wow.
To get to know them. That bugged everybody. You weren't doing things this way. But, you know, it just took a while. And I think naming someone, a project, you know, identity. I'm actually renaming and changing some of my identity as an artist with names and my logo. And so it just, the first assignment my branding person gave me was, all right, whittle it down to like 6 or 7 adjectives. Mm-hmm. And of course, I have probably 30, you know? And but it's a great exercise. And it's all based on, like, okay, how do you describe your work?
So
things, and then I asked maybe a half a dozen of my friends, like, send me some adjectives to describe my work. And it was just so interesting to get all of that information, which I'm still in the process of deciphering. But that could be a good. When you said bringing Holden on has changed your sound, could you describe that a little bit, how it's made a change?
I mean, I think naturally, to start with like purely technical reasons, we started the project with just a drum machine. And it was just the three of us, me, Mike, and Ethan, playing with GarageBand drum loops and a big PA. And Ethan on bass. So I think just on a purely technical level, having a bass player has opened us up to having kind of a bigger, punchier sound, too. But I mean, generally, I think when you bring anyone else into a project, it changes it, even in small ways. So it just adds to the dynamic, which is always very exciting. Especially as we kind of evolve with our creative process and with our live set and everything, too. You know, every musician kind of continues coming into their own over the lifetime of a band. and their sound and how they play evolves. So, yeah, it's a lot, but I would say that's a long-winded answer, but it's been really nice. And also, just speaking technically again, having a four-piece band is fantastic. You know, you can play loud. It's great.
I really
we've rocked harder
this.
Than we've ever rocked before.
Yeah. Yep.
Now it's hard to stop a drum machine when you're playing live. It really is. It takes away from the climax, I think.
It really does.
You know, so it's just, it feels really tight now. So, and that's what we've been looking for a while. So,
and it's like, it's nice to have, I think, honestly, you add a lot to the dynamic too, Holden, just like, just hanging out as a group too. It's kind of, we feel like a unit, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's like in like a press release, it'd be like brothers.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah,
the Cornelli.
Yeah, it just sounds cool. So
it's also cool. It's given Ethan a great opportunity to get back on the drums, and he kicks ass on the drums. He's an awesome drummer.
Uh huh.
And so it, through this process, I'm learning, still relatively new to playing music. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity to play with these guys, and you know, offer suggestions here and there, and what I think might work well in the mixes, and I think it's been a lot of fun playing together.
Yeah, I want to give Holden some accolade too for and never even played bass before. Like we had you on, you know, so kudos, because you're good at it, man. Like I think you're gonna
keep
getting better too.
You were nervous, and I was just like, you got this, you know.
I mean,
just
I
threw
was
you right into
just
the fire.
Picked up playing bass in August, so less than 6 months ago, and.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't feel like I was up to par with these guys initially right away, because these guys are so talented. But I don't know.
But you are.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Totally, man.
Totally a full rounded. I just feel like you guys have.
Yeah.
Like just arising. Mm-hmm. Like it feels full at the rise.
Yeah. We're in those preliminary stages, I think, a lot, where we're just starting to. It's like the early phase of a band where you're starting to find an identity and record and do things and establish some kind of presence. And it's been fun to kind of figure that out.
So
it's a lot more thought than I ever thought it would be to build this to build a project like this. I've never done this before. So, yeah.
Especially since I feel like as a group, both us four, we have a lot of different influences.
Yeah.
A lot of them align, but a lot of them are pretty different too. Like which is what we listen to on our own time, or what we add to our instrument or writing or vocal performance, whatever, you know. I like that. I think it's great. Just from the performance today, by the way, my mom's friend, she's a musician. She's been playing guitar for like at least 20 some years. She's quite good. And she's a very open-minded person to lots of different styles of music. And she's been to some of our other shows before, which, you know, they've all been different kinds of sounds, and she's always been totally into it. But I've never heard her talk about, like, you know, how diverse, like, one of my band's sounds are. Mm-hmm. But she said that today. She's like, I love how I can't pick out, like, what, like genre, if you will, you are. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, like, a big compliment, honestly, because the last thing I'd want is someone to just be like, pop rock or pop punk, right? Like, I've heard that before, you know, and that's fine. But I like that she was like, there's so many things. Like, there's just so many different sounds. Mm-hmm. 90s alt, like, Western stuff, like, pop, you know. It's cool that, like, we can make that work as a group.
So. And this seems like a new opportunity to make it work, because you are all together now and you're working well together, so you can bring in, like you said, all these influences and sounds, and really, it's so exciting.
And even if it does end up getting more specific or honed in the future, we're in a very fun stage, you know? It's almost kind of like, because I think our sound's going to continue evolving, but it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, like being a teenager or something, when you're kind of trying different things on. Not like personalities, that sounds too big, but you're really just trying to find yourself and your identity. And I like this stage of having a band, you know, you're trying a lot of different things out and seeing where it goes. So it's really fun.
And that, I guess that's the real, this makes me very happy, because it does fit into the vision, the mission of March 4th, is just giving, you know, having the opportunity to collaborate with you guys and create space and time and a venue and, you know, an audience that is like, you get to try it out. You know, you get to try out some of these things, which is different than a practice.
No, and it's,
you know,
and it doesn't have the same pressure of playing at, say, a venue where somebody's staring you down and you feel this pressure. I think these shows are fantastic because they've given me, I mean, I can speak for myself. I've really pretty much like developed all my musical chops playing at your galleries. You know, it was all my first and kind of middle ground opportunities. Nice. So yeah, it's speaking for myself. It was just a really valuable thing to have, you know, a low pressure yet, essentially it's a low pressure yet still challenging environment. That's really inspiring. That's made me and all of us, I think, a lot better. I think you and you two can speak to that.
Definitely.
Also.
Yeah. Very grateful for all the times we've been able to play, like, you know, Downspace or here or North Boulder, you know, your Eldorado space. Like, you've been so generous with your time and giving us a space to perform and better our performance.
And generous with your talents by providing music at all the crazy concoctions that I have always happening, you know? So it's really a good win-win in what the vision for the organization wants to do with, you know, lots of young artists and starting artists.
Yeah, I also think that, like, these gallery shows, they've been great for me as well because I've done coffee shops and, like, breweries and stuff, and, like, most of what I've done has been, like, the venue kind of thing. And then, you know, it's like Brody said, it's like low pressure, but then it's also like this unique, different, you know, atmosphere. And so I know I have told this story a whole bunch of times, but with the last time I ever played a coffee shop show, probably ever, it's just, I felt like I was intruding. And I had a girl like make eye contact from me across the cafe and then put her headphones in like mid song. She was studying. So
that's kind.
So like, I think that, you know, in a coffee shop kind of vibe, like people go there to like study and like focus on something. And then when you got like music, that's not super ideal.
There are places that cultivate like a music environment.
Yes.
But yeah. Generally like, during the day, people are going to do their thing and get their work done. So I could see that being feeling a little bit. It's good to like feel like people are really paying attention.
Yes.
Even passively, you know, like I don't think people need to give us their undivided attention.
Yes.
I'd feel selfish asking for that, but you know, even just half of that.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Divided attention.
Just acknowledgement.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't have to be listening to every lyric or being completely immersed. You know, no one can ask that, but it's, I know how that goes. Yeah. These spaces have been nice. They've made me and I think all of us such better musicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's, you know, it's actually like being able to play here. It's kind of brought my friend Dominique, who we've always done backyard shows and basement shows out in like Thornton with. She actually started a new thing called Co-Create, for short for Colorado Create, and she's trying to bring that back and do multimedia stuff where we can have basically like graphic artists or, you know, people who whatever the word is for making clothes or something. I can't think of the word. Just like anything, jewelry or
craftsmen
and have live music and stuff.
Yeah. Different kinds of art.
Yes. And so just kind of like creativity. That fuller multimedia experience, which is kind of like, you know, what we get with playing at these galleries is seeing more than just music. Like, I do love playing at a venue, and but at the same time, like, I feel like an attention whore. Just like, oh, pay attention to me. And also when, you know, I don't feel like I did well, and then I'm like, oh, these people paid money to see me for some reason. And so it's...
And so much of starting a band is tough because it's like there's inherently you have to build the audience. Like, there's so many bands. There's no audience just waiting for you. And to just have an opportunity out there like these, you know, where you can kind of wield that and hone that in, has been very cool. So, yeah, it's a challenging thing, but it's been fun to grow this.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And there is something about the audience stopping and listening. I mean, it's the same thing with my visual work, you know? You don't want people to just walk through and not spend any time, especially when you poured so much into it.
Yeah.
And I think this is, like, these venues are a kind of a hybrid from, like, these gallery March 4th shows are like a hybrid between like a serious venue and a coffee shop, and it kind of, I feel like it still invites the audience to really take the art in along with, you know, the music, and just stopping and encouraging people to stop for a moment
close your eyes and listen. I mean, I spent some time in the other room listening to you guys, and it was really nice to actually listen and not be watching you.
Yeah.
Because I heard other things, you know. Mm. So I was, yeah, I think that just the opportunity to pay attention is important as a human.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Take it and run with
it. Always.
No.
No, I love this idea of practicing art among art.
Yeah.
Like, it just feels right, you know? Because I remember when I had my show in 2019 where I had my World Under Returns exhibit up, and I had this fellow, I wish I remembered his name, playing guitar, and it's like he's practicing his music while I am doing art. And I fucking love that shit, man. And then, like, people would come in, and it would be like, so you are experiencing art while experiencing the making of art.
Yeah.
That's some shit, man.
Yeah.
Well, and also, music might bring people who might not otherwise come out to an art gallery.
Yeah.
You know, they're different markets, but they want the same thing. Yeah. Yeah, it intersects two different markets, I think, in a way. You know, people who are coming out at a gallery to view or buy art, and then people who want to see music. And it just it melts them together. Because at the end of the day, it's the same impulse. You're seeking both of them out to further understand yourself and be enriched by it. So to mix those is really cool.
Yeah, it's nice to have those modalities, have the choices in modalities, for sure. Because we all are touched by different modalities, and we're moved to see the world differently. So, yeah.
Very well said.
Well, that's what I love about galleries and stuff too, about seeing the world differently, is that all of us walking through this are experiencing all of your art like very differently. Like, I don't think oh my gosh, I love the freaking textures on these prints. Anyway, if you guys are out here, come down to the Valkyrie Gallery. I walk through the gallery and I want to crunch on stuff. You know, like I want to touch things and I want to, like, I don't know if you guys have that experience looking at things and being like, can I just peel that off and snack on it with respect on it?
Well, actually, this show is it's very tactile and it's inviting people to touch. You don't, you can touch. And
really?
Open things and see. I don't really taste elements, but that might be my next thing.
Snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Edible art.
We all become bakers.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, we even kind of discussed that a little bit, where we are mixing that, where I have pickles as merch. I understand you guys are going to have...
We're going to sell red sauce.
Red sauce.
I like merch.
We've got a plan. We're going to do a pizza sauce, which will be like a raw... Yeah.
I got to have a menu item.
Oh my gosh.
I need something. We'll have to think about that. Yes. Crunch, something crunchy.
Something crunchy.
Yeah, we're going to do a marinara and then a pizza sauce, which will be uncooked.
I love
it. So we'll just sell that. Yeah, it's I was inspired by your, I'm struggling to find the word, but resourcefulness when it comes to branding yourself and funding your music.
My main thing was just like with my old band, like it ended and we had so many t-shirts left over, and it's just like, how many of us are sitting here wearing band t-shirts right now? Like, I do love a good band t-shirt, but it's just not what I wear anymore. So it's just like,
I think the further people get in their 20s, you just wear less logos.
Yep.
I don't find myself buying band t-shirts anymore. Mm-hmm. So finding any other ways to fund music is really valuable.
Yeah. And it's like, what are the things that I get when someone goes on like a vacation? What would I want them to get me? And it's like, coffee mugs or, and then I also, you know, with the idea of like consumables is like, you gotta come see me again if you want more.
Your pickles were delicious. I brined some chicken after I finished them. Brined some chicken thighs in the leftover pickle brine. So good.
You were not the first person to tell me about doing that with the chicken.
I made some fried chicken with the remnants of your pickles. They were fantastic.
That sounds so delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds really
pickle brine's the hack. Pickle brine buttermilk.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I know Jeevan did that as well, and he texted me. He's like, I did this, and I was like, nice.
Yeah. You could even write like a little cookbook recipes or something.
Man.
Oof. Recipes to listen to music by or something.
There
we
go. Yeah.
Except for I have to make just breakfast recipes because my most consistent feedback has been I really like listening to your music and making breakfast. Like specifically that from multiple people. I'm like, okay.
It's a good point, I think, because being a musician now, you do have to be industrious. Mm-hmm. I think it's harder than ever to make a living.
playing mm-hmm. music. I can't speak to other art, but music, it's a tough thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it rewards industriousness and taking initiative and inventive in new ways. So you're on the cusp of that.
We'll all eventually buy a big bus and it'll just be a traveling musical farmer's market.
Yes. Yes.
Call it good.
There we go.
I can make my lattes and live my barista fantasy.
Yes. There you go.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's cool because you also see a little like of those kind of like conjoining ideas happening in like a whole bunch of businesses and stuff as well. Like the Ivy Wild School down in Colorado Springs, they just turned this old elementary school into a Bristol Brewing is in there. There's like four or five restaurants and stuff. Mm-hmm. There's like a distillery and it's just, you have this huge combination of stuff and that's kind of, you know, yeah. we're just all finding ways to overlap and make it work for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Kind of communal.
Yeah.
Right. That's true. Just add on to that too, like the t-shirt thing. Because like it's very smart merch in the meantime or for whatever kind of scene you're playing for. But yeah, people grow up, you know, like especially in like the scene or just things that cater to a younger audience. Like, you know, already like 23, I don't wear as many band t-shirts, even though I have a ton.
Oh.
But I feel like I used to buy one at like every show because I was so excited. And I was like,
want to watch school the next day? And like you're waiting for someone to ask you about it. Like, you don't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
They're like, you go to a concert last night? Yes, thank you for asking. I did go to a show. It was in the back also. Like, that was the whole thing.
Right. Yeah, you get that one like person like in a week or something who's like, oh, I like your shirt. You're like, yes.
That's it was part of why I think everybody did it. You know?
Sure.
And also just like when you're younger especially, I think like when I was younger, music was my entire identity. It was all the bands I liked. That was my entire how I completely identified myself, and the band t-shirts were an extension of that. And then we get a little older, I think, and there are more things we use, and our identities become more independent from the things we like, and either the things we're creating or really who we are. But the band t-shirts are perfect at that time when you're just looking for like some reason to shout out to the world, like, this is who I am, this is what I like.
Right.
Good point.
Yeah.
How can I express my angst?
Exactly. Yeah, and now I don't really feel the need to wear that identity forward facing all the time. I don't need everyone to know that I like this band, you know, at the coffee shop or something. Yeah. But yeah, I think
I'm sorry.
No, you're okay.
I was just going to say, but how interesting, because maybe now you don't need everybody to like that, but what you're doing is liking it yourself and then integrating it to your own vision and how you collaborate, and then it still stays with you, but it's not so much from the outside coming in, it's kind of outside. From the inside.
Yeah,
which
does kind of make that transition. Yeah. Yeah.
That's
very
true. And the coffee mug, it's just an example of like merchandise for a band or whatever your art project. Like, it's so smart because people like myself who work full time now, and especially like I work at home mostly. You know, I have coffee every morning and I'm like in my apartment all day. So I have coffee in my coffee mugs. Yeah. And I have to have a lot of coffee mugs if I don't want to do dishes like every day. So
I feel that.
It's like something that's like for me.
So everyone needs, all of us need to have a set of mugs for our merch.
Yeah,
a collector's pack.
Just take it one step further and make your own coffee.
Yes.
So you have to have
pizza pans.
You roast your own coffee.
Pizza pans with your band logo.
There you go.
And then the red sauce.
Yeah.
And then I make a crunchy
crust.
Perfect.
From
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, we got it.
See, we're collaborating.
We're covering all bases.
You could drink morning honey coffee out of a morning honey mug.
Yeah.
It's full circle.
I would definitely buy that.
Yeah. Full meal, like, from band merchandise.
Yeah. Right.
I'll only play in the mornings.
Right.
And I'll just have, like, make your own pancake griddle, just chip in or something.
That would be kind of a fun thing to do.
That sounds amazing.
Are we getting?
I want that.
Oh my God.
It's funny too. I was talking to a musician I work with. He said one of the best things to sell to like fund a tour is stickers, too. Like those are really great. Yeah. Like selling sticker packs. And it never occurred to me that those could go that far, you know? Because I'm sure we're going to be at a point where we need, you know, cash to go do a weekender or something. Yeah. So,
right.
Yeah, it's just kind of. It goes back to being industrious and resourceful and things like that. So
stickers are totally worth the investment.
Oh, yeah.
And I just got the stickers.
And they're really great.
Yeah.
I like that. Like,
and
really
I didn't
clean.
Even put the URL on them.
Oh,
because
nice.
Apparently that's not as attractive in the sticker world now. It's more younger people don't want all that. They just want that.
The sticker.
Yeah.
Which I like. I was like, I was, you know,
You don't have to put all this information on a sticker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's funny. Oh, you're going to say something,
no,
Patrick.
Go for it.
I was just like, when I met you, Patrick. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was like 2016, I guess, like early 2016.
And that's something like go that, way
yeah.
back.
Yeah, and that was through Brand in July and Pop James. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, the scene. anyway, I just remembered. I don't remember exactly if it was you, Patrick, but mm-hmm. one of the bands that we played with a lot at the Marquee, they were like, oh, like one of the best investments we made for merch is stickers. Because everyone mm-hmm. talked about t-shirts. It's like, that is yeah. smart, and you make a lot of money. But you mm-hmm. spend a ton of money up front to yes. do that. And if you don't sell them all, well, then you're out.
Then
like
you're wearing
hundreds.
Your own merch.
Mm-hmm. Right, then you...
you're sleeping yeah. in your own shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
Band
shirt. Yeah.
Ask me about my band.
Yes. Right. But yeah. but I just remember, I'll never forget that sticker thing. And actually, mm-hmm. That wasn't that long ago, but 2016, like, people were saying, like, put your URL because everyone yep. is into the Facebook business profiles. Mm-hmm. Now Facebook, after the last presidency and stuff, and yeah. everything no. with Russia, people mm-hmm. have a lot less trust in social media in general, but, like, especially mm-hmm. Facebook. But it's just so interesting because we have those original Right Into Life stickers yep. with the cloud and whatever. And we have, like,
do they have,
Facebook.
Like, the Facebook and the Twitter and the little icons?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. we yeah. did, and our manager's like, do that. Do Whereas that. Now it's you're totally right. They're like, don't
yeah.
do that.
Like my branding person told me not to do that.
They will look
yeah.
you up on
that's
their
like
own
that's don't put the
exactly.
don't put so. The URL.
I find that yeah. kind of interesting.
That's super interesting because we were actually the people we had on 2 episodes ago, I believe, are like master marketers. Mm-hmm. That like that they're like it's the band O'Paris and like so they are. Michael is actually he does marketing like full time for like his job. So
yeah, really
it true. Sounds like you know just kind of. How you can always like bring it more people in and kind of like place advertisements correctly. But at the same time, they don't do quite as many like live show situations. So
yeah.
I was, that is kind of what helped get us started on thinking about having like QR codes and stuff mm-hmm. for on like, you know, maybe a sticker or this or that. Because, and also it's interesting, I don't think I have ever sold a single sticker. Every time I've gotten stickers, it's just like, oh yeah, just grab a sticker.
That's a right. good
because
thing
I think,
to do though.
Yeah, because I think also like, especially starting out is yeah. like when you go to a venue, what is one of the things you see everywhere?
Stickers.
All over the bathroom, all over the tables, yeah. all over the chairs.
Not that bad.
And
yeah.
yeah.
right.
That's
right.
like my favorite thing. Like you go to Lost Like, be like, oh, I remember when they put that there. It's like, oh, there's my band. That yeah. kind
right?
of thing.
I like the sticker packs.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
those
I'm
are cool.
I'm excited to see what name
I know.
And what logo so we can make you guys some sticker packs.
Mm. It's going to happen.
It's going to be exciting.
Yeah. yeah.
The
oh.
next
I remember,
go around.
I remember my favorite thing that we never did with Maddie's Change was when we had like the whole ice cream branding was we had this idea to get 4 separate stickers that were like we'd only have like it was like each one of us as like an ice cream cone or something and then we'd only have like oh this sticker at this show and you had to like collect them all kind of thing. So.
Well, I just have to say, I love I like the that. Line. I really love the line. My favorite thing that we never did.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a good prompt. That's a good prompt.
That's a great
that's
prompt.
That's a, man.
Maybe we could, wow. I'll go around and
exercise
say.
I like that.
The
I like
my
that.
Favorite thing we never did.
I like that. Who wants to start?
I
guess
be,
I
don't want to start.
I guess I started there.
God.
Counterclockwise.
You want to start, Beth?
No.
Or go
I'm sorry I brought
what
it up. It was
what,
just
what
such
happened?
A cool thing.
All right, we're going to need 5 minutes. Favorite thing that I've never done? Skip me.
Okay. Is it me now?
Yeah, if you're up
yeah. Whoever
yeah,
wants to take the stage.
Exercise.
It could be
deep.
It could be your old band. It could be you. It could be, you know, you and a family member, you and a friend, whatever.
Like, that's that. I'm sorry. That's not something I can answer immediately.
Oh man,
we'll have to
that's
go
okay.
back. Maybe
we'll
we
come
can
back.
To come back
at
and talk about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
it pops in, I think if any, it should be something like if it pops in your head.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No,
oh, that's okay.
No,
I like
it's
that
okay.
prompt.
It's just that's a tough one.
That yeah. is really
I'm gonna
good.
Use like, it in my. I'm teaching at CPAC, Colorado Photographic Art Center, this June, and I think that's gonna. I'm gonna use that prompt.
Ooh, I've got something.
Yes.
My favorite thing that I've never done is figured it fucking out. I was going to say figured it out in school, but just figuring it out in general.
Mm. It's totally impossible.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, that's where
Life
art comes
journey.
From, right?
Yeah, that's why it's my favorite pursuit, baby.
Yeah, I'm not sure the answer to that. It's very ominous, big. Yeah. I just thought it sounds like a great lyric.
Yeah.
Yes,
you know?
Or a title right. of something.
Yeah.
Something.
We can just steal it.
There we go.
Yeah.
We'll have
to do something with it.
We'll have a big full day show of like my favorite thing we never did. And yeah, it's just we like could, we'll throw could... whatever. It's like, yeah, this never made it out in the world, but
yeah,
we had an idea.
Yeah. I think there's room to, I think there's time to cultivate this. Yeah. My favorite yeah. thing I've never done.
Well, I've got, idea. I'm going to talk about this after we done, because I've got some ideas.
Okay. Well, circle back with us because yes. I'm interested.
Just art shows.
Yeah, so I guess, what is, next for, we can kind of circle back. What is next for the band that will
quote Tercel, end quote.
We're in formerly, such an awkward.
Be formerly known as Tercel.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man. We're just going to try to play as many shows as possible. Okay. We'd like to record a double single sometime in the next couple months.
Nice.
Do like a 70s thing, like an A-side, B-side. Absolutely. Just get something out. I can't speak for everybody, but I'm of the headspace of I'd much rather just cut a single than play more shows. I'm not really in any rush to make an album.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
You know, but yeah, but I think we're going to cut some singles and then nice. Yeah, play, just try to play out as much as we can. That's the goal right now. Keep working on new stuff. So yeah, you know, start becoming more industrious. We're so new that we haven't really done all, it's all like the band stuff that's kind of like businessy. That's
yeah.
not, I don't like, but mm. It's a necessary evil. Yeah. So we probably yeah. need to start doing more of that, mm-hmm. you know? So that's, yeah, really just keep building this and getting some, the double single, I think is probably our biggest priority.
Can I ask
what
the double yeah. single entails and what kind of an idea of like, what does it take to make a double single?
Oh, just a side A and a side B.
Yes.
So like a double.
And then you yeah. get...
You like
I got that.
Oh no, I know.
Two songs.
Yeah, two songs.
10 points,
yeah.
10 assists,
you,
and 10 rebounds.
Get it mastered somewhere? Do you yeah. guys do all that?
We would probably mix it, I think, because if I was one thing I've learned from the Replacements is that the mix can, you get the wrong person on the mix and it just mm-hmm. it can yeah. kill the whole thing.
Right.
So we'll probably mix it and then we'll outsource some mastering. Okay. But yeah, it'll just be either a couple songs, probably two of the two songs we feel the strongest about. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of that because you can just release them side by side and have mm-hmm. them out. It also kind of feels like an old like 45
yeah, exactly.
thing,
45.
Which is cool, even
with
though we're not going to make vinyl. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm asking because I think that sounds like something that March 4th would like to,
yeah.
you know, help. So you guys have to please be in touch with me about that. And you said within the next couple of months, that would be a
yeah.
really good timing.
We
because we also have June coming up mm-hmm. where you guys could play. So
yeah.
if you really are serious, that would
Absolutely.
Be something I would like to know so I could, March 4th could help fund that.
Great. Yeah, we'll make it happen.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think we know what songs we already want to record.
Okay.
I think
nice.
So too.
So.
Place.
Yeah, we're gonna do it DIY.
Yeah,
so
I
didn't fully answer, but yeah, we're gonna record it all ourselves.
Okay.
Mainly because we just want to save some money, and mm-hmm. it's also just fun. It's a fun challenge to
yeah.
produce by yourself.
Very fun.
So yeah, we're gonna do that, and then outsource the mastering and the harder stuff.
So
but
the outsourcing is where you'll need
yeah
funding.
Yeah. The mastering
for okay.
sure.
Well,
you
maybe
know,
you guys could find out what that entails and will let.
Yes,
yeah,
we have enough gear between if we put all of our heads together. Mm-hmm. I think where we don't really equipment's not a problem. It's just that the extra personnel.
Yeah. And just finding yeah. the time to do
and
it.
And finding
yeah.
the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, even solo like recording myself, I'm just like I get like a day where I'm like, I'm gonna track everything and then I don't touch it for 3 months.
Right. And recording's stressful too.
Mm-hmm.
You have to listen to yourself with such unflinching
yeah. Yeah.
Just there's no holds barred, you know, there's no, it's very confrontational.
Yes.
You have to look at the song so critically mm-hmm. and straightforwardly. So
mm-hmm.
I think for that reason, I'm not a big fan of recording, but it's something that we
it's
have to
like
do.
It's like figuring out what to print.
Yeah.
Like each of those images had lots of different mm-hmm. incarnations to get to the final one.
Yes.
I said,
yeah.
Okay, I'm hanging it. Just like, okay, we're done with this song.
Mm-hmm. We can't
Again.
Work on it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to admit, I do love recording, but I think
mm-hmm.
it's, for me, it's enjoyable when you have other people around kind of being a part of it.
Yeah.
So like being in a band and recording was like one of my favorite things. And then we had
mm-hmm.
Ben Norton track and mix all of our stuff, and I loved that because it was just like he was kind of almost like an unofficial fourth member for us.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, being able to get that outside mm-hmm. feedback is huge, and it's just exciting to watch something go from like, okay, we got drums,
yeah,
cool,
and build it
from the ground up and watch it take on these different iterations and stuff and add a bunch of
I'm
layers.
Excited
it's really
to see
cool.
if the songs will take on like a different
sounds.
Yes.
Vibe when we do record them.
Oh, I love that.
Because live, it's always a little different. It's always a little more raw. But I'm curious to see what new life they take on when we do interpret them in that way.
Yeah.
And we've never recorded together too, so it's a whole new dynamic. I think where like we can each be creative in different ways.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never like something that we planned on putting out. I don't think. Yeah. This will be cool.
Okay, you guys have to keep us posted.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think you guys also just like I was considering outsourcing for. I was also planning on. Recording two songs, the re-recording since when we had the show in December and I had a full band and I was like, yeah, these songs got a big facelift. I got to do them again. And I was considering outsourcing because it'll be full band. But then I think literally just now you guys convinced me to just do it myself and send it. And
I think mastering is a good thing to do.
Oh, I would always recommend outsourcing mastering. And I think
but mixing can I think of like the Replacements with like the Don't Tell a Soul record when they had one producer, they hated the final record because they put all this like big poppy cues on everything. And I love how it sounds, but if you listen to the demos or the final recordings that they wanted to release, they're significantly different than what came out.
After we're all done and you guys are, they've thought the recording is finished, I'm going to just have myself playing like the tuba over and I'm going to release it and you're not going to know
it. That was it.
And then you regret having us done it by yourself.
I love it.
No, I actually totally agree. I think it's good to kind of, especially when we're at the stage we're at right now, it's like,
the mix is so important. It can make or break a song.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's something I think we should do on our own, even though it sucks.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's a lot of levels, but
yeah. I also do have a recommendation for someone to master if you guys need it.
For sure.
Definitely.
Oh.
Good to know. Who is
you can send it to Abbey Road for like $300.
There you go. It's my friend Mickey Postillion, who has done mastering for me even since I was in Maddie's Changed.
Mm-hmm.
He's done.
Is he Denver?
He is Denver, yes. Okay. He's done some incredible work. He is the front man for Meliora. He plays guitar and Overslept. He's incredible. Very, very talented. So
nice.
Highly
recommend.
I like
that name, Overslept. That's a good name.
It is a good name. We were talking about the origins of that name yesterday too, actually.
Yeah.
And actually, the bio that Elias put up for Overslept actually helped inspire me get to Morning Honey. So it's kind of
wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is kind of a nice ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Well.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, we are. We are running so close to time. My computer went to sleep.
Yep.
Now we got to redo those last 50. No, I'm kidding. Awesome. Well, so to kind of close it out, we just have one big old question. I believe Ethan and Dona might know what's coming, so we might start with you three. Actually, before that, where can we find you guys?
Plug your shit.
Go ahead and plug your shit.
Social media.
Yeah. Our current Instagram handle is Tercel Band. Two L's.
Two L's.
So on there. Email tercelband@gmail.com.
Can you spell
and
the
also
Tercel?
With TERCELL. Two L's.
We're also on YouTube too.
We are.
With
we
two
have
videos
two
from
live
our
videos.
Two live show.
Right. Thank you, Liv.
From the show that we with you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So we're pretty much on there. We're not on Facebook. Didn't feel like it was really
TikTok's coming soon.
I actually was thinking about finding a way to make us blow up on TikTok.
I'd rather do a TikTok than Facebook.
It's
honestly.
a little cynical, it's but it's you got to do a lot to succeed as an artist. Now.
Honestly, anytime you go onto TikTok, it's a little cynical.
Yeah.
I've never. Heard
we
that
can
one
lean
before.
Into that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so we're on there, and that's where we'll be posting updates as to everything. Mm-hmm. So yeah, and from there we're just expect some music in the next couple months,
awesome.
And you know some shows.
And then
in
a show
summertime.
In June for sure, with March 4th.
Yeah,
definitely. And
it's
following my wave show.
We'll yeah,
yes,
I'm very excited.
And you can find March 4th on Instagram, March 4th, and then at that website is March 4th, FORTH, Jules, JULES.com. And there's a calendar there with upcoming shows. We have you, Patrick, coming up in 2 weeks here playing, and other guests throughout the month. So that's exciting here. And then this show, Waves, moves into North Boulder in the Nobo Arts District in June. Mm-hmm. And so we'll kind of have that same format on the Saturdays, having mm-hmm. or Friday evenings mm-hmm. or something, having performances.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Cool. Alrighty, awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you guys for being on.
We've never been on a podcast before.
There we go.
Very exciting.
Wait, this is and, a podcast.
Really thought this would take longer and, to get on the podcast. But,
thank you guys for listening, all seven of you listening from your car, wherever. Thank you. We just got our final closing question that we get for everybody. I think we'll probably start with Mike, and then we'll get Brody and Holden here. Mm-hmm. And then if we want to revisit, maybe your answers change since we talked, you were last on.
Maybe.
And also shout out to our first two repeat guests, Dona and Ethan. We actually were talking about that, and it kind of just ended up this way. So, Beth, do you want to do the honors, kind of open it up?
All right. We've got a few going on.
Yep.
All right. Let's start. What feels like home to you?
I would say cracking jokes feels like home to me. It's a comfort. Mm-hmm. It's my comfort zone is coping with humor and attempts at humor. So yeah, I would say that's the appropriate response right now, because that was my instinct when you asked.
Okay.
Me that, was to try and do something that I thought was funny. So right. I would say that, and that never occurred to me before. But maybe, you know, kind of being a wise ass is my problem. So there you go.
I like it. Okay.
Alrighty. Brody, you want to go next? Out?
I think I feel at home when I'm playing music with my friends and also drinking vino verde and eating gazpacho. So those are my two favorite things to do.
You know, I feel at home when I'm with my friends, listening to music, and ultimately having fun. Good humor, like Mike said, good food, good liquor. All those things I think add up to a nice homely environment.
All the above.
Yeah. Has your answer changed, Ethan, since
what is your answer?
Last time? Yeah, what is your answer?
I don't know if I remember exactly what I said, but it sounds similar to what Holden just said. And but I think, yeah, I just think that like when you're like with whatever you're doing, you know, or experiencing, but when you're like with your family or friends or both, that's like you feel at home, you know? Because like I feel like even if you're like across the world, totally at your comfort zone, maybe in a crazy situation, I don't know, but if like you're with your family or you're with your friends, I feel like you feel like grounded, you know, whereas maybe if you're alone, not so much. At least, I don't know. Maybe as someone, I don't think I can be like super comfortable, like totally alone in an environment where I'm not comfortable. Some people can, and that's awesome, but I'm just not like that. But yeah.
Has your answer changed?
I think it's added. I think the last time I said I feel most at home with my children, and I will say I feel most at home in addition to that with connection. So with others, with other artists, with creativity, creating. I think that's probably my kind of home comfort zone. Yeah.
I like that. I like how like that the answer is kind of always, we're adding different ways to like define it and like describe it. And so like I think last week we came up with, it went from like, oh, safe, and then like comfort, and then it's like, no, because like I'm kind of at home a little bit being out of my comfort zone. And then I think Adonis last week added in the idea of secure, which I think hits home with like, oh, I feel secure that I can be myself around with, you know, the people that I care and love about. And then also connection, I think, is something that I really love as an addition as well. So,
and I feel like grounded. That kind of ties into my, you know, my answer, because I feel like I only can feel comfortable being, you know, trying to be funny or make jokes when I, you know, feel a certain amount of security, and I don't feel like, you know, it's a tough room or people are not going to take it well. So I appreciate that from, you know, just, you know, anyone that I feel comfortable around, including you guys.
Yeah, totally.
Also animals question. Too.
Animals.
Like we talked about dogs.
Cats. Yep.
Cats are my favorite person.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, my cat feels like home to me right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's a good question. It like gets to the heart of somebody very quickly.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
If you need if I'm gonna use that if I need to get to know somebody really fast.
Yep.
Now. Yeah. You know.
It's a good one.
I think we lucked out and like it was just kind of like we wanted to talk about like the idea of home with like our first guest.
Yeah.
Because she made like these videos, like a kind of character analysis videos about TV shows and characters and whatnot. And so I think she made the, you know, this show feels like home kind of thing. And then it kind of was just like, ooh, maybe we'll just steal that from you and
use it. I
have
a big journal page about it from when it started. Yes. Yeah,
back when we took notes before we started recording.
Thank you guys so much. This was an honor to be part of you guys.
Yes.
And also
thank you, John.
Yes.
So thank you.
Likewise.
Very grateful to be on the show and have played today. Mm-hmm.
We're now then to now be a friend of the show.
Yep. Now friend of the show. Friend of the show, yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now you guys are all officially invited to the whenever it actually happens, the Fueled by Lore barbecue that we keep talking about.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right.
The way the door shut, but I still can't see through far.
We could host it at my home or something.
There we go.
With a skate ramp stage.
Yes, we got
we'll
it all.
We'll make some barbecue chicken using your pickle bread.
Yeah. Nice. Or we could do it up at, in Nobo or something.
Yeah.
So
we got options.
When you
We're always ready to spend time with people.
Thank you again.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you guys.
Yeah, thank you both.
Thank you. Yeah, podcast. Okay. Yeah.